blind, cool, tech. The show where life,
hey y'all,
technology,
hello,
and blindness,
hello, is anyone here? I can't see anything.
Comes together.
Please welcome your host, Gary Skookman.
All right, it's show 202, another Halloween show, with the topic not actually related to Halloween. We've had a lot of interest in the subject of relationships, so I'd like to share with you some information from Chris and Marla. Chris Grabowski, you may recognize, reviews many of the products that you hear about here on BCT. Also, Edward Alonzo sends in a comment about relationships, and we have a good email to read. So sit back and enjoy it.
This is Chris Grabowski and Marlo. We want to talk to you about what it's like to be a blind couple and how we go about doing things. It may not be perfect, but it works for us. First of all, we own a home. And I know that when I tell some of my consumers that two blind people own a home, they're like, oh my God, it's so amazing. But, you know, it's really not. We can talk about the mowing the lawn. That actually was inspired. I used to pay somebody to do it, but after listening to Larry do his demonstration of mowing the lawn, I thought, you know, this can't be too difficult. So I pulled out the gas mower and mowed the lawn.
Went out and bought one.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to add? We own an above-ground pool, 14, 15-foot round pool. And in the summertime, you know, I kind of thought when I first got the house and there was a pool in the backyard that it would be difficult for somebody with a visual impairment to maintain the pool. And that's not necessarily the case either. I would say probably 90% of my pool is automation. I have one of those cobalt talking timers that turns the pool on and turns the pool off and at a specified time. And you just put the chlorine in and, you know, you just let it go. You vacuum it once a week with maybe you can even get the aqua bug that vacuums the pool by itself. You know, so you just take the pool, you take the vacuum, throw it in the pool, and walk away 3 or 4 hours later, it's done.
Or you could vacuum it yourself with the regular vacuum.
Yeah, you could do that too.
You just push it around and for a couple hours, and then that's done.
Right.
You go in the pool and vacuum it.
Yeah, you could
do that.
That's
how a lot of people do it. Even sighted people do it that way.
Yeah.
You can actually go in the pool and walk around as you're vacuuming it, and you can feel if you're picking anything up.
And you can actually feel if you find dirt at the bottom of the pool, you can feel it with your foot, and then suck it up with the vacuum when you're standing in the pool.
It's kind of like vacuuming the house. It's the same thing. When you vacuum the living room, you just vacuum and you can feel if you're picking up. You can hear if the vacuum is picking up.
Yes, you can. We get around most of the time using cabs or public transportation. If we want to go, say, pick something up at the store, what I do sometimes, like if it's an electronic and I want to go to Circuit City, I will research on the internet what I want to pick up, you know, because if I want it right then and there, and then I'll call the store to see if they have it. If they have it, I will have them reserve one for me, and I will go in with a cab, find customer service, and tell them that I'm here to pick up whatever. There are other times when I've gone places, you know, shopping, where I'll go to customer service and say I need assistance, and they will...
Like at a grocery store.
Yeah.
And they'll take you around, and they, if you write up a shopping list before you go, they'll take you around the store and you pick up everything you need. But usually we have a friend take us grocery shopping because it's just easier.
Right. We pay my friend, and he takes us with the... takes us grocery shopping, and, you know. What we've done is we have the ID Mate 2. I've done a review on the ID Mate, and if we don't know the grocery, when we're putting the groceries away, if we don't know what the item is, we can scan it with the ID mate and put it in. Well, somebody with sight is there, they could help us put the item into the ID mate, and that's where my friend would come in handy. So we just scan it in, and that way we have access to the groceries that aren't in the database for the ID mate.
Or what I like to do is when we're in the grocery store, when we pick something up, he'll give it to me so that I can feel it, so that I can identify it later when I go to put it away.
That works too. Cooking. She'll explain how she cooks with the stove. It's just a off-the-shelf, obviously, stove.
Just an electric stove, and it's got the oven with, I label the little numbers. It's got the little buttons you push for up and down and to set the temperature. You count. Maybe someday I'll do a podcast on cooking something. I don't know. But it's just got little braille labels on it, and I cook with an electric stove, and I have a George Foreman grill. And what else do we have?
A talking microwave.
Oh, well, we don't really need that, but Chris has to buy every electronic that's out there. Whether we need it or not, we have a talking microwave, and he can do a podcast on that someday. I think we could just... I always had, when I lived on my own, I had a regular microwave and just put braille labels on it, and that was fine, but he likes things that talk to him.
Which isn't altogether a bad thing. That doesn't mean you can't do it with the labels. It just means that I like to hear things talk.
He just likes electronics, and anything new, he'll go out and buy it, whether we need it or not. Right?
Right. Here's what we do for home repair. We have a contractor that we trust, obviously. And if something needs to be repaired, we just call the contractor and say, if I need a new window, I'm not putting a new window in myself. Need a new window, you call the contractor that you trust, and he's done good work for us in the past, and he will in the future. So, you know, that's just how it's just easier. You know, we go out, we go to movies, we go to the movie theater, and again, you just, when you pay for your ticket, when you go to the movie theater, you just ask them if, you know, tell them you need assistance in the movie theater. And we've had good experiences with that where, you know, obviously you don't go to a movie theater all the time, so you don't know your way around the place. So they will help you in and out, which, you know, we've never had a problem with that. You take a cab to and from. You take public transportation to and from. You go out to restaurants and, you know, how that works. We go to banking. When we do our banking, we go to the teller, you know, in the bank, and we do it that way. Or if I need to access the ATM, what I will do is I will go with somebody that I trust, obviously, and, you know, we'll take the withdrawal out that way. And I don't know if we have any talking ATMs around here in Buffalo. So
we do.
Probably somewhere.
We don't use them, though. Usually, it's easier to just go with someone and you make sure you get the right amount of money out.
Mm-hmm. Paying bills can be a whole podcast in itself, but to sum it up, most of our utility bills come in Braille. And What we do is, we've done this for years, is have the utility company automatically take the payment through the checking account. So providing the money's in there, they can take the payment when it's due. So that works. And you get the bill in Braille, so you always know how much they're going to take.
Yeah, the phone bill and the gas bill and the electric bill all come in Braille. And what else do we get in Braille?
I think that's it.
The cell phone bills? No.
No, the cell phone bills are all online.
Are online. You can go into your account online. What other bills do we pay? Everything is pretty much taken out of the checking account. What about the cable bill?
Same thing.
Satellite.
The satellite bill's taken out of
That's taken out.
That's not actually in any kind of... we don't even actually get the satellite bill on paper.
That's the same amount every
month. But it's the same amount.
You don't really... You know when it's coming out.
Right. Actually, it's coming out today.
And the only bill that we have to do a check for is the water bill.
Right.
Every 3 months. And then we just have write up the check online.
I haven't done it yet, but I do have Money Talks where we can use Money Talks to write out the check. I haven't had the opportunity to calibrate the check yet. So that'll be interesting when that's actually done. Two things I want to talk about that are not really a necessity, but are kind of nice. One is a money identification technique. And what I have is a money identification tool that is about the size of an audio cassette. And you take...
What's that thing called?
It's called the Note Teller from Britech? Britech, I think. And
where'd you get it?
I got it from Ann Morris Enterprises. But you take the bill and you slide the bill into the money identification.
20.
And it tells you what it is so that you can fold it whatever way you want to. And it's been very, very reliable.
And it's nice when somebody gives you change back, like a cab driver when you're at a store or a restaurant or wherever, and you get change back that you can look at it while you're there to make sure it's right.
Because it's very portable. You can put it in your pocket.
Cannot read.
Okay, that's probably
that sometimes happens.
Five.
And there's a five. So I can take my five and I can fold my five a certain way, whatever way you feel comfortable, whatever method you feel comfortable. That way you'll always know that it's the right amount of money. The other thing is the global positioning system. We both have Braille Note GPSs from Sendero. And one is always with us when we go, like in cabs and stuff, because I've had we've had situations where cabs... they're like telling you, oh, well, we know where your street is, yet they're like three or four streets away.
Or they'll try to take you the long way to your home, to where you want to go, and you know where you want to go. And we kind of tell them which way we want them to take us, because we know the shorter ways. So if we do know, we'll tell them which way we want to go, because sometimes you'll get a driver that wants to take you the long way.
They want to add a couple more dollars onto the meter, probably, but...
That's happened.
It's happened. I remember the one situation...
We've had discussions with drivers about that.
Right.
The nice drivers that we like.
But I've had... I remember the one situation where we literally passed our street, and I was telling the guy, I was telling him, you know, we live on such and such a street, and he says, well, I know where it is, and he's like four or five streets away. I said, you're coming up to such and such street, you need to make a right, you need to make another right, because you passed our street. And he's like, oh. So it does come in handy for those situations. Also, when you're in a restaurant or anywhere out and you want to be picked up, you call the cab company and tell them you're visually impaired so that they come in and look for you. So they, you know.
Especially now because it's a lot of times you wait outside for them, but you still want to let them know that you're blind, because that way they'll know to look for you.
Right.
What were we talking about?
Having light timers go on and off in your house so that your house...
Well, you did the podcast, the light timers that we have. Who makes the light timers?
Cobalt.
I don't know about all these electronics. I don't care until I've met him. I never had any of this stuff.
But you want to have...
You want to have... We have in the living room two lights that are on timers that go on when it gets dark and they go off at night. You want to have lights because as a blind person, sometimes you will forget to turn lights on. And you want to make it look like your house is lived in. You want to, you know, for people to see that there's someone there and that the house isn't dark all the time. So we have the light timers that go on and off.
So the house doesn't look abandoned.
And you can set them at different times, because I forget to turn lights on. And sometimes you go into a room, I'll turn a light on just to leave it on for a little while. And now we have a dog, so he likes to have lights on. The light timers, we have the security system, which Chris did a podcast on. The talks.
The Simon 3.
That's not really a necessity, but...
But it's nice
to
have.
It's a nice thing to have. We live in a nice, safe neighborhood, but...
You never know.
That's a nice thing to have. What else do we have?
I don't know.
This house. Everything in this house talks. You start.
Go ahead.
Do you want to talk about it or no?
The Halloween. We want to know...
Are we recording?
Yeah. What two blind people would do for giving out candy for Halloween? I know Halloween's like tomorrow.
And we've done it.
We've done it. But it's not easy.
Well, a friend of ours who lives alone, and she's blind, and she owns her own home, and she lives alone, and she had said that she doesn't like to give out candy on Halloween because she doesn't want to advertise to
anybody and everybody
in the neighborhood that she's blind, and she doesn't, because she lives in her home by herself, and she doesn't want to let people know. She doesn't want to be out there kind of advertising it because she lives alone, and she just, it makes her nervous to let everyone know.
But it's really not even people in the neighborhood,
because
people
in
the,
anyone.
People in the neighborhood know that you have visual impairment. It's the people that come in.
Our neighbors know us, but it's the people who come out trick-or-treating. You've got people for blocks around, you know, from different neighborhoods who come in, and she had said that she was kind of nervous about that. And it's something that, as long as we've been here, how long have we been in this house? 4 years?
Uh-huh.
We've always given out Halloween candy, and it's something that we never really gave any thought to until she brought that up.
Right. So we want to think of what do people think of that? What do you do in that situation?
So if anyone has any ideas on what they do, I mean, tomorrow, I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow. We haven't really decided yet. We've been eating all the candy we bought. So I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow. Maybe we'll just go out, but we have a dog, so he'll protect us. He'll bark when people come around. But we haven't really decided what we're going to do, and I know it's only today that we thought to do this, but if anybody has any thoughts on that,
let us know. Well, we'd like to thank you for taking the time and actually listening to this podcast. If you want information or have any ideas, my email address is chrisg@buffalo.edu. And thank you very much.
Wow, this topic has brought out some great conversation and some really interesting and very useful, I hope, information to the rest of you.
Larry, it's Edward Alonzo. I thought I'd call and see how you were. I hadn't spoken with you in a while. How'd you get those fax messages turned off? I can't get mine turned off. I looked in the options there at K7, and I couldn't find an option to do so. That must have revised it or something. But maybe you could give me a pointer on that. I've found a couple of people that have had theirs turned off where it says to leave a fax. I didn't see an option to turn it off. There was only to play that message, to play your greeting and that message, and I think that was it. Anyway, I was just wanting to call and comment on a message that was left on your feedback show, the latest one, about Eric had called in and was speaking about persons in a relationship with one or two blind or one blind and one sighted. And I thought that I might point him to my own podcast. I don't know if he's a listener to it or not. But, of course, he can check that out at livejournal.com/users/BL. And he may already be a member of that or he may not be. But I was wanting to point that out to him because my wife and I, of course, are both blind. And I think he's brought up some very good points on the blind and sighted couple as well. I used to date a sighted person before I dated Holly, and it's a difference. If you're used to dating a sighted person, you may be spoiled more by certain things that they can or cannot do. For instance, taking you, you know the differences in that when you date a sighted person yourself. Taking you in a store and not having to take your cane or dog or travel aid, you can do a sighted guide. If you're a blind person with another blind spouse member, then you have to, of course, either ask for assistance if you need something, or you know, travel with your cane or dog if you don't have anyone else sighted with you. So just some interesting comments, and that is a very good topic to open up. I'd heard you discuss that in a couple of podcasts on relationships with versus blind versus sighted. So I just wanted to comment on that, and maybe he could get some information on the way two blind people do live, you know, live together very easily. You can check that podcast out. We do some cool stuff. Got some new ones up, and hopefully we'll be getting more up as things become available. But just some ideas on that. That way, maybe you could get some information on how some blind people work together. And then, of course, you know, anybody that would be willing to submit some submissions on ways that blind and sighted couples do things, because it is a difference. So take care, and enjoying the podcast as usual, and hope to be chatting with you soon.
Thanks, Edward. Appreciate that information. And Edward's right. You don't get any more real life than this. This is soundseeing tours of, well, for instance, a trip to Walmart, cooking dinner, cleaning house, really down to the earth submissions and Good podcast there, Edward. Tell you the truth, though, I never got in that habit of leaving the dog and the cane behind when I went sighted guide with somebody. I got to have my folding cane or something. I'm afraid they might leave me or something. Oh. All right, we've got an email here now from Rose Combs, along in the relationships thinking. So have a listen. We're having Kate from nextup.com read this to us.
Top, hi Larry. I'd like to weigh in on the topic of how blind people do things. I have lost my vision gradually since birth, and have learned some techniques for getting things done. Some, I learned, myself. Some, I asked people who had been totally blind all their lives about. For cutting meat, I cut off one piece at a time. That way, my fork is stuck into the piece I want, and there's no hunting around for the pieces. I still like burgers more than steak, because of the cutting issue. With cane travel, I like to close my eyes, to block out the light so I can focus on the trip. My eyes, and those of most people with low vision, will lie, and our brains will misinterpret the images and get us into trouble. In big places, I would rather hold on to a guide person than my cane, because retailers, for example, have tended to set up their spaces in patterns that present the most display opportunities to the visual customer, i.e., zigzag configurations of aisle space and so on. I want to meet the blind person who can successfully navigate the Mall of America without assistance. Even if I could, it would take all the fun away. The person helping me can see the signs above the store entrances and let me know what they see in the window displays. Of course, it's best if the other person wanted to go there anyway, and you aren't taking them out of their way. I am very handy around the house, because my mother taught me quite a bit about carpentry, and never made me feel that I couldn't do it. I built a second bathroom in my house and a laundry room as well. I had my brother sweat the pipes, because it involves using a torch near wooden joists and studs. Other than that, Mary helped me with the physical stuff, like carrying sheet truck or wallboard, as some people call it. I use a radial arm saw, which some people think of as a crosscut power saw. It has adjustments for angled cuts, and can even be used for ripping, though it's difficult to use for this purpose. Most of the most often used adjustments have feelable stops, which allow a blind person to do it without assistance. I do all my own electrical wiring as well. I just have someone take a quick look just before I make my connections, to give me the colors of the wires to make proper connections. Most of electrical work is actually running the wires from place to place and physically installing the boxes, switches, and outlets you want to connect. I even make connections in the breaker box and install my own breakers. Again, so long as you follow the logical steps, you cannot be injured. The main thing is to read up on the work you want to do and ask for help the first time, to learn the techniques and adapt them for your own use. I used to simply measure for a piece of wood I needed and keep the measurement locked on the tape. Now there are talking tape measurers and levels that sound a tone when they reach level or plumb, which is vertical level, straight up and down. Instead of making pencil marks, one can use a sharp tool to make scratches on boards and wallboard. I have noticed my work's quality improve over time with my knowledge and experience. Now, I just hire a guy to finish my sheetrock work, because it's faster and a ton less mess. It's just one of those things that you do with your hands and your hands cannot touch the actual surface or it ruins the job. I do not paint. I have someone else do the painting, but I can lay out the tarps and tape off surfaces I don't want painted, and move ladders and most everything else except the actual painting. This is the work that takes a ton of time. Also, blind people are excellent at sanding surfaces, because our experience has developed our sense of touch and we can feel things which may not even be seen. Some nailing with hammers is necessary and I have techniques for this as well. I try to hold my arm steady and only bend from the elbow. First lightly touch the face of the hammer to the head of the nail. Then draw back the hammer and swing it down with mild force. Start light and increase the force until the nail goes in for you. There are different hammers for different work, and using the right one will make a big difference. A 20 ounces. Framing hammer is for just that, framing. You use this heavy hammer to pound nails through one board and into another, mostly 2x4 boards, which are used in constructing framing for walls and other applications. When attaching finished trim around a door, you use a lighter hammer with a smooth face. The smooth face won't catch and bend over the nail. The lightweight will put the nail in gradually, and is less likely to dent the wood. There is a tool called a nail set. It looks like a dagger with a tiny point, which is actually concave at the end, to be held on the head of a finished nail. Finished nails have tiny heads so they won't show up as much as a big flat-headed nail. By using the nail set, you keep the actual hammer away from the wood for the last quarter inch of nail, to be driven into the wood. You end up with a very small dimple in the wood, that you can fill by using your finger, to press a tiny ball of wood putty into the dimple. Later when it is dry, you can sand it smooth and then go on with your finishing. I built my own deck by using screws to hold everything together. I won't go into detail here, but it isn't as difficult as it might seem. Good math skills and rechecking and thinking out your design carefully will keep you from messing up your job. All a deck is really is a table with one side held up by legs and the other connected to the house. I grew up watching this old house and learned a ton from that show. I have insulated my attic and installed weather stripping on windows and doors. This is a very good thing to do and especially now that fuel is so expensive. Maybe I could write each of these projects out in a separate document with instructions, which assume that the user is blind. I'll think about it. Most of the skills I have developed as a blind carpenter fix-it man come from listening to how sighted people do it, and then asking about anything I don't understand, and sometimes getting sighted assistance for the first time or two. I have replaced the mirrors on my Ford and installed a new stereo in the dash of the Ford and the GMC. Again, I just needed help aligning the matching wire colors. Crutchfield.com sells car audio and supplies instructions and wiring harnesses, which exactly match your vehicle and model of stereo. A harness is just a fancy name for a bunch of wires which are held together. The ends of the wires are connected to each other and each set ends in a specific shaped and sized plastic plug, one for the stereo and one for the car. It's not difficult at all. Once you disconnect the battery, or have someone disconnect it, you can't be shocked or damage any electronics on the vehicle. Using this technique, I do most of the work at the kitchen table putting the two sets of wires together to form one cord with a plastic plug at each end. Then your job is just to take out the old stereo and install the new one and, again, Crutchfield will supply everything one needs to know how to do this. They throw that stuff in for free if you buy through their web store. Sure, there is some stuff blind people would be better off avoiding, like painting and mudding wallboard, but most everything else can be done with practice and patience. Mary and I installed our own satellite system, even though most providers will do it for you nowadays. I do most of my own appliance repair. I started doing this when the guy from Sears told me that the part for my dryer cost $18 and his charge to install it was $85. I don't know why, but he said, it isn't hard to do at all, you just unscrew a couple of screws and everything else is just unplugging the old part and plugging in the new one. He was right. It was so easy to do by feel. Sure, there are some things that shouldn't be done by a homeowner renter, but there are a ton, which will save you a bunch of money. A thermostat can be installed very easily, a dishwasher can be replaced fairly easily, and most appliances work on simple principles and have reasonably few parts. We just have to start small and build our knowledge and confidence. Ask a lot of questions until you understand what is going on. fix your own PC, stove, washer, and so on. Once you succeed at a few small jobs, you might have the bug for doing your own jobs, and saving a wad of cash. I also freely admit that, like Jim Fiddler, I see pictures in my mind, when I hear things with my ears. I ask what things look like, and I'm trying not to lose my visual memories of things I've seen in the past. You were accurate when you said that partially sighted people wouldn't really trust the dog. I, as Lynette stated, used to rely on my faulty vision and it could really get me in trouble. When I was 16 years old, my friend, Todd, challenged me to a foot race across the campus of the school for the blind to see who would get to the cafeteria for dinner first. I was so smart, I thought. I took a shortcut across the grass field to pass him. He was following a light gray sidewalk which, at the blind school, was always free of obstacles. My path across the grass was much shorter and I began laughing at how much I was going to beat him by. My trip was abruptly ended by a green, metal, light pole which visually matched the color of grass to my eyes. 20 minutes later I was in X-ray with a fractured nose and 4 or 5 deep cuts on my face. The impact crushed my wireframe glasses into my face and wrapped them around my head. Right after the impact, though I was bleeding quite a bit, I was laughing at the ridiculousness of the whole thing. It still took this stubborn person 20 more years to carry a cane. Many more accidents and incidents couldn't overcome my intent to avoid being labeled as blind. Jeff Armstrong, Bottom.
Wow, very thoughtful and complete email there, Jeff. And I agree with you 100%. It's actually enjoyable to be able to do a lot of things, woodworking or working in your yard or repairing things. Sometimes you may need a little extra help from some specialized tools, as you mentioned. And sometimes you just need to be extra careful. You always do, actually. I always say that it takes me quite a bit longer than it would a sighted person to do something. If I could quit losing my tools, I could probably cut that time in half. I remember one time my dad, I was actually building a shed, and I was using a circular saw, and Dad made a guide for me so I could hold it on the edge of the 2x4 and it would cut, make a good square straight cut. Before that, I was using a nail, like Jeff mentioned, and I'd put a mark where I needed to cut, and then I'd put the blade there and then go to where the edge of the saw was and then put a square there and scratch a line with a nail and then follow the guide with that line. But this other thing made it so much easier because you could just push against it, of course. Yeah, I think we could start another great conversation about how blind people do a whole series of things. And it looks like we're actually getting started doing that. So keep those coming. They are very informative. It's going to do it for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. This is the music of Andre Lewis.
Visit us on the web at www.blindcooltech.com. Send an email to blindcooltech@gmail.com or leave a comment on our comment line at 206-984-9203.